Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our recollections series tonight. A little break from some of the other shows we've been doing on concerns or on the expectations for certain players. Tonight, we're going to talk about Corey Graham. And joining me to do that is Jake Vogel. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Ken. How about you?
Doing great as well. Good win for the Orioles today. And a great player chosen, I'd say, here. Really exactly the kind of player, maybe a little lesser known, particularly to fans who've been around less than a decade watching the Ravens. Why did you pick Corey Graham?
I just think he was so instrumental in the Ravens winning their last Super Bowl in 2012. So he was a name that I honestly brought up for somebody else to do a pod on when I was too busy and we were able to postpone it and find the time to do a podcast on him. But, you know, he was just special in a game that we're going to particularly talk about in Denver. But, you know, other than that, I think he was just kind of an unheralded guy that bounced around from team to team in the league and had a really solid career. I'm sure – I don't know what his career earnings were, but he was, you know, a little bit of a journeyman but made some splash plays for sure.
Yeah, since he was a survivor, I'm sure he made, you know, millions at the game, but not not 20 million probably. And let's see, how many years did he have after Baltimore? Well, he did play for 5 years after he left the Ravens. He played for 12 total years in the league. Let's start at the beginning, though. He was drafted 168th overall in the fifth round by the Bears in 2007. He played in every game for the Bears, but he didn't really play a whole lot of defensive snaps in his first five seasons. He did play. He played maybe less than what you'd expect. Matter of fact, according to what I have here, they must not have snap counts for before 2012 because they don't have anything for him. But he doesn't have very high tackle totals and whatnot. He did have a pretty good year in 2008, but with nine starts. But the rest of his career, other than that, with Chicago, he only had one start in total. Mm-hmm. So didn't play a whole lot, did make a Pro Bowler as a special teamer, I believe, in 2011.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
So 6 foot, 196, comes out of school with 439 speed. Admittedly, he went to New Hampshire, which probably meant a lot of people didn't really trust the competition level he'd been at again. But how do the Bears fail to convert this guy into a very useful defensive player?
I don't know, honestly. I'm not sure that they have the infrastructure for it, but you know, they had some good defenses with Lovie Smith. I think that kind of paired up with the time that he was there, possibly. But you know, Baltimore definitely with Ray Lewis still in the fold and Ed Reed and some of the veterans on this defense, they were able to bring in a guy that was kind of known for special teams and really see what he could offer on defense. And he ended up playing a huge part of the defense, as we'll get to, you know, as a starting corner for us. And this is the same defense that had Jimmy Smith, you know, kind of waiting in the wings.
Yep.
So, you know, super interesting player that I really think, you know, years down the road, not a lot of people are going to remember him, but he was the defensive player of the game in Denver in the Mile High Miracle. And that game does not happen without Corey Grant.
Yep. I agree completely. There's a lot of heroes to go around. The defensive way, that's the easiest to put it. You know, Jacoby Jones, Torrey Smith had a great game. Joe Flacco, of course, had a good game. But the guy who really had a great game on defense was Corey Graham. And we'll come back to that in a minute, but we'll stick a pin in that one for a second. But the 2012 season is an interesting one for me as the Ravens because it's one of the most incredible turnarounds for a defensive backfield I've ever seen to come back from injury. To set the stage, the Ravens had Webb, who had been the best cornerback in the entire league in 2011, 42 passer rating against, if you include his postseason heroics, I think nine picks, including the seven during the regular season, two more against Johnson in the Texans game. Mm-hmm. And then Jimmy Smith was a second-year player and a first-round draft pick. So imagine if Nate Wiggins somehow spends this year on the bench due to a combination of injuries and good players in front of him. Mm-hmm. And then he's still not playing next year. How weird that would be.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about, you know, this far out. Knowing how good a player Jimmy Smith ended up being, that he really sat out kind of that long.
So, you know, obviously great players in front of him as well. Kerry Williams was on that 2012 team and not thought of as being a great cornerback when the season began, but certainly by the end of the year, Ravens fans were very happy with him. Graham was the guy who took over for Lardarius Webb when he suffered a tremendous injury, a terrible injury in week six against Dallas, wasn't it? Week six.
Yeah, I was at that game. Horrible. That was it was a tough one to see.
Yeah, they won that game by a point, but it's still a horrible game.
Yeah, Dan Bailey missed wide left, I believe.
Yeah. They recovered an onside kick and a whole bunch of bad stuff. So anyway, Webb and Jimmy Smith, not part of most of the regular season. Jimmy Smith actually played a fair amount during the regular season, suffered an injury in midseason, and then came back to be the defensive MVP of the Super Bowl, which I thought was very impressive for him. But and that really triggered him being the Ravens, you know, number one cornerback for several years after that. The Webb injury was the second of his career and really kind of, I thought the first injury certainly combined to the second, but the first injury was as bad a rookie injury as you'll ever have in 2009 because he was just coming into his own. And then to have him go down after his big year where he just had an enormous year, just gotten paid that offseason for on a big contract, really sucked for the Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
All right. So you have Jimmy Smith returning after missing five games entirely, not able to crack a lineup that included Kerry Williams, Corey Graham, and that other great cornerback we've forgotten about now, Shockey Brown.
Shockey Brown, yeah. Not a great corner in Ravens memory, but, you know, he played a part. He absolutely played a part in the Ravens Super Bowl run. And there's a play that we'll get to in a little bit in the Ravens postseason that, you know, helped the Ravens, you know, get a win where it really mattered.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jimmy Smith's play, you're saying?
No, I'm talking about Shockey Brown. Obviously, Jimmy Smith in the Super Bowl, but Shockey Brown in Denver had a big play.
Jimmy Smith didn't play a defensive snap in Denver, but he had a huge play on the punt.
On special teams.
Yeah, yep. to make Absolutely. A tackle back at the five-yard line. All right. So the other thing that was amazing about Corey Graham's career, he played 12 years in the National Football League. He missed a total of 8 games. If there was a guy who knew how to take care of himself, you know, would be good at teaching availability to young players. Guy's still only 38 years old, like right now. He'd be very relatable, I would think, as if he were in coaching right now. I don't honestly know that he isn't. He may be somewhere, but availability is the most important ability. He'd be the poster child for that.
Mm-hmm.
2012 season, allowed 7.1 yards per target, which is okay. Not great, but it's okay. And his opposition passer rating was 75.6 in 2012, 87.4 in 2013, when he allowed a few less yards per target. He had a lot of turnovers. He had 8 of his career interceptions in those 38 games he played for the Ravens. And those were his 2 top years for interceptions, 4 each year. And that was something nice.
Yeah, I had slightly different numbers, but I was going by what I found on PFF today. They were similar, though, for his 2012 season in the postseason there. But, yeah, all good stuff. I do agree that, like, you started to see his breakout in Baltimore, and I think he was able to reap the benefit with Buffalo, you know, in his next contract after leaving Baltimore from after the 2013 season.
Right. Right. Other things that you remember about him as a player, is that it was technique wise, were there things that you liked, that, you know, how he was utilized? Because if I recall correctly, he did play some slot in 2012, mm-hmm. even though he's not really what you would consider normal slot size at 6 feet, 196.
Yeah, I think he was just a savvy player that understood routes really well. You know, as we'll get to a game later, you know, he was often matched up on, you know, smaller, shiftier wide receivers, even though Corey Graham wasn't necessarily a small corner at 6 foot tall, 196 pounds or whatever it is. You know, he wasn't large either. And I felt like his movement skills kind of, you know, worked well for him to, you know, be moved around a little bit in the slot and maybe a little bit more on a flank or wide receiver. You know, he played left corner primarily in this 2012 season that we're talking about.
Today, a 6 foot corner is probably in about the 55th percentile of corner, but it might be even slightly less than that. But anyway, it would be right around the median for mm-hmm. certainly for an outside corner, but maybe for all corners in the league. Back 12 years ago, even that was a really big corner. I would guess that there were, you know, it might have been in the 70th percentile then. I think the position has gotten larger. They've looked for bigger players. They were more tolerant of having, you know, 5'10" guys on the outside, and they were more tolerant of having some smaller guys in the slot too. They still are tolerant having smaller guys in the slot, but then if that's the only position you can play, then you're really limited. So the rosters tend to really be focused on length, and speed really on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about some of his greatest moments. You want to jump into that, or are there other things about him as a player you wanted to talk about?
I mean, I have some numbers that are interesting. You kind of already went over some of those in terms of his yards per target, passer rating allowed in that season. You know, he only had 8 starts in 2012. You know, that's probably a mixture of the talent that the Ravens already had in the corner room. Two interceptions. He passed that number in 2013. But, you know, his 2012 and 2013 seasons were pretty similar from a, you know, an efficiency standpoint of his defensive play. So I don't really think that 2013 was any better for him. Eight pass deflections and one forced fumble as well in 2012. You know, he got in there and was able to, you know, stick his nose down there and make some tackles. He had 60 combined tackles and 42 solos and one TFL. To me, he doesn't really prototype as some of the Ravens corners that you think of, you know, in recent memory as, you know, this blitzing player around the line of scrimmage in the slot that can really wreak havoc on a quarterback or in the backfield. He wasn't quite that guy, but they did utilize him some, even in the postseason, on some of those blitzes. I think he fared, you know, decently, but yeah, just something about his play screamed more of a coverage player rather than a pass rusher. But you know, he did grade out pretty well in 2013 on, you know, from PFF's metrics.
They've got I've seen him for rushing the passer 46 times in 2012, which is a little bit strange because I didn't think Dean Pees really liked to do that nearly as much. And then only 11 times in 2013. I'm sure they couldn't really afford to have him. But some of it may also be where he was positioned, because if he's an outside corner, he's going to almost never rush the passer. 46 times rushing the passer, that's a slot corner for sure if he's doing right. So, yeah. And you mentioned the interceptions earlier. I just want to point out he did have two in the regular season, but two also in the postseason. That's where I got the four total. So, anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. Anything else before we move on to his greatest moments?
No, I think I'm good on that.
All right. So sure. Take us through is there another game besides in 2012 you want to talk about before the Mile High Miracle or?
You know, he had half a sack, against the Colts. You know, that was Ray Lewis's final home game. You know, really special one where it was the battle of, you know, Joe Flacco and the Ravens against this up-and-coming quarterback, Andrew Luck, that the whole NFL media had been praising this guy and wanting him to be, you know, the next Joe Montana, the next Brady. And it didn't ever really come to fruition. Probably, you know, some reason the Ravens stopping them. And then, you know, that's what I like to think. And then, of course, injuries to Andrew Luck's career certainly hurt him. But, you know, Corey Graham was involved a little bit in that one. But, you know, when you look at the stat sheet across the games, you look at the metrics, there's nothing that quite stands out the way that the Mile High Miracle game does. So, yeah, I think he was solid throughout the playoffs. But the one game to really talk about is in Denver.
Okay, we'll do that in just one second. I do want to say during the regular season, he really had a great year against the Steelers that year. So in the first game against the Steelers, he had an interception of Byron Leftwich as the Ravens held on to win 13-10. They played him again 2 weeks later, and that was a game that Charlie Batch won in Baltimore. If you were a Ravens fan at that era, that one really hurt for the Ravens at the time. I mean, it hurt their playoff chances. They went on a little bit of a losing streak and had to eventually pull it out with a big win over the world champion Giants at home to clinch the division the next to last week of the season. But anyway, in that particular game, he intercepted Batch again. So actually, he didn't intercept Batch. He intercepted Antonio Brown in the game. So Antonio Brown threw an option pass. Ravens still lost that game 23-20, as I mentioned. But you did a good job mentioning the Colts game. Let's take it through the Mile High Miracle.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the biggest game that the Ravens played in the postseason, apart from actually being in the Super Bowl. At least for me as a Ravens fan and probably many others, you know, overcoming what was Peyton Manning's, you know, last ride in Denver. It wasn't really his last ride, but his last peak performance year, I just think that was bigger than trying to beat Brady in Foxborough. And it really kind of proved to be that the case, because this game was full of twists and turns. You know, the score changes, you know, back and forth all game, and double overtime. The second overtime really was just a continuation of the first one. It never really mattered for Denver, but the fact that this game went on so long, and you had this offense in Denver that was just, you know, full of talent and firepower and intelligence with Peyton Manning, and then this defense that wasn't really as good as 2011 by any standards, but was able to, you know, make plays when they really needed to, and the offense that, you know, was able to pull out some clutch moments, you know, throughout the whole postseason. It was just a special game, and I think without Corey Graham, there's no way the Ravens do it. You know, he had positive plays and negative plays in this one. It kind of goes back and forth, but I think in the end, he got the last laugh. And the guy that we'll talk about that he really matches up on in this game is a former Raven, Brandon Stokely. And I thought that was just a critical element to this game.
Yeah. Stokely certainly had his moments in this game as well. Let's talk about that first play, though, where Graham had the go-ahead pick six.
Yeah. So his first quarter score was 7-7. And Corey Graham is kind of in this press coverage. I didn't write down who he was going up against, but he's kind of in this press veil technique. And he's still keeping his eyes forward at Manning and at the underneath receiver, who happens to be Eric Decker. Shockey Brown is, you know, super tight with Decker. Maybe nowadays you could get called for something, but I think it was really clean play by Shockey. You know, super close, a little bit of a pass deflection. Ball goes in the air. Corey Graham's looking at it. He goes forward, grabs the ball, catches it in the air, and takes it on the outside left sideline all the way to the house. He has blockers in front of him, but he doesn't really need them. It's about, 39-yard return for a touchdown that puts the Ravens back on top 14-7 at this point in the game. And then the interesting thing is, right after this series where Graham gets the pick six, he's going to have to go against Brandon Stokely for Denver. Once they get all the way down the field, they're about 15 yards out. And he loses a rep to Stokely for a touchdown on 3rd and 8 of the next series. I didn't know if you wanted to comment in between there.
I think, first of all, great point made up that a lot of people would say that Shockey Brown probably interfered with Decker on the play. What I loved about the play from Graham's perspective is when cornerbacks can make a play on the football when it's not their man, that's really special. Okay. Yep. A lot of them can't find the ball in the air, period. But, you know, the Ravens cornerbacks who have done it regularly recently are Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey, and Corey Graham are the three I think about immediately. If you want to say Marcus Peters, I think of really Marcus Peters being a cover three guy who's taking an area of the field himself and he knows exactly when to gamble. The other guy who's done it also, if you want to talk about doing it out of the slot, is Kyle Hamilton, in terms of being a guy who can pick up a rebounded ball very well. But those guys were special, and Corey Graham was too for his time with the Ravens.
Yeah, completely agree. So, you know, as I mentioned, you know, Corey Graham, you know, has a check in his box.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, But as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Box, you know, positive for this game, a pick six, which is huge for any defensive player, puts the Ravens up. Then the next series, the Broncos are able to go all the way down the field. It's 3rd and 8 at Baltimore's 15-yard line. And Stokely kind of has like a double move on a fade route, a goal line fade, and he's able to catch it, you know, get 2 feet, almost kind of a knee for his second one, inbounds on that offensive right sideline of the end zone. So he loses that one. So now we're about even. So the score is tied once again, 14-14. The next important play is coming up in the second quarter at 13 minutes and 4 seconds. That is a 3rd and 10 for Denver's offense, obviously. Corey Graham breaks a pass. So it's a pass breakup, you know, right on the ground at the turf against Stokely. So you see there's a battle between these two players. You know, Graham wins, Stokely wins, Graham wins again. So, you know, the ball goes back to Baltimore. They punt. But, you know, Baltimore doesn't do anything with the ball. Denver gets the ball. They end up going up 21-14 with 7 minutes and 26 seconds left in the second quarter, with a pass to Knowshon Moreno.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Ravens block a field goal. I think it's a block. I didn't really see a credit to who blocked the field goal, but it's a really bad looking ball. With a minute and 16 left in the second quarter. So it's a really good thing they did, because at that point you're thinking Denver's about to be up 10. Who knows if Baltimore is going to do anything with the ball before, you know, half. And the Ravens are able to make something happen. Torrey Smith scores a touchdown with 37 seconds left.
Great reaction to the ball.
Yeah.
To do that. The only other guy I really can remember doing that well, and you have to be tall to do it, is Marcus Robinson against the Seahawks in the 2003 game. But, you know, really great adjustment to the football to undercut Champ Bailey. And you want to talk about great wide receiver cornerback matchups in that game. Torrey Smith ate Champ Bailey's lunch, and that's a Hall mm-hmm. of Famer there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fantastic game from Torrey. And he honestly gets overlooked a little bit, overshadowed in this one, even though he had a 2-touchdown performance. Jacoby Jones does it in the end. That matters. And Tucker with the field goal. You know, everybody knows this is history, but we're just, you know, recounting it at this point. But, you know, the next thing that happens is Trindon Holliday scores his second touchdown. It's another
start of the second half. Yep.
Another kick return touchdown to start the second half. So Denver is up 28-21. Ray Rice is able to score, you know, right at the end of the third quarter, a rushing touchdown, 20 seconds left. So the score is tied 28-28. Did you want to interject anything here?
No, it's just, well, I know what's coming up next. And Deardorff was in, I really love Dan Deardorff, but this is probably the game that Ravens fans don't like Dan Deardorff for a couple of different things. And one of them was what happened next when Denver went up 35-28, that he was talking about how the defense was very tired and they'd been on the field for a long time. And, you know, Ray Lewis was just a step slow getting over to tackle who was the wide receiver. 88,
Demaryius Thomas.
And he harped on that. And then again in overtime, he harped on a ball where he was sure on his own review that Bolden had not caught. And I've watched it, you know, 100 times by now, probably. And you could make that claim. I think you could also make the claim that he never lost control of football. If you're Dan Deardorff, you're a Denver fan, or you're a Steelers fan who hate for the Ravens to ever have any success in the postseason, sure. you don't like that. Dan Deardorff, outstanding broadcaster, I always thought. But this is a game where Ravens fans don't really remember him that fondly for this.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That you already mentioned it. Demaryius Thomas scores another receiving touchdown in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes and 11 seconds left. There is a turnover on downs at 3 minutes and 12 seconds. This is where, as a Ravens fan, you are thinking, how in the world do you come this far and, you know, possibly lose it all with that turnover on downs? This Ravens offense was on the field. They turned it over. They have 2 timeouts left with 3 minutes and 12 seconds left in the game, and they're down 7. You know, thankfully, they were able to force Denver to punt, you know, after they were just killing clock. They got below 2 minutes. And this is the next really important play is the Mile High Miracle. But go ahead.
Really, really critical play on third down. The Denver did not make any attempt to pass the ball there.
Correct.
And it was one of multiple elements of conservatism built into the Denver offense on the entire day. They didn't try and score after the Mile High Miracle with 30 or so seconds on the clock. That would be unheard of today. I think you know, if you have Peyton mm-hmm. Manning at quarterback, he's just had the year he has. He's right. Your store-bought guy. you would try anyway. And they were right at Gumbel and Deardorff, I think, were doing the game, and they were all over him for not trying to avoid overtime at that point. But I will say that one of the things very apparent that day watching him throw the ball is he really, that was the first time I remember thinking of what a limp noodle of an arm that Peyton Manning had at that point in his career. It's just, there was just nothing left. And the cold was probably making it a lot worse in that particular circumstance. And we saw a lot of flotation devices thrown up, and he did the best he could to keep them away from defenders, which he was generally very good at, but it didn't work out all game.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. So, you know, the Mile High Miracle, as we call it, the Hail Mary to Jacoby Jones happens with there's 41 seconds at the start of the play. By the time that Jacoby Jones walks into the end zone, there's 31 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So that ties up the score 35-35. Joe Flacco just heaves one on third and three over the head of Raheem Morris and the Denver secondary. And, you know, Ravens fans are going crazy everywhere. If you're at the game, you're at home, I guarantee that was a fun, crazy moment for you, because I know it was for me.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable moment to be there. I can tell you that. And it's a stunned silence all around us in terms of what was going on. But that was another Deardorff moment on how, you know, he completely blamed Raheem Moore for dropping the ball here. I mean, Flacco threw a great pass. It went 57 yards roughly in the air, which is a long way to throw a football accurately. And it's an unbelievably long way to throw a football accurately in that kind of weather. It was extreme. You know, it is Denver, so I guess you get a little bit more. The ball travels a little bit better when you
have that altitude.
Dispatch it by whatever mechanism, foot or arm.
Sure.
But it was he overthrew. He played to overthrow Morris on the play, and Morris came up short. And then Jacoby Jones was comically behind him in terms of Morris, you know, mistiming his leap there. But Deardorff certainly went off on Raheem Morris for, you know, the better part of 2 minutes to talk about that play between, you know, them and the time they were kicking off. And I'm sure Raheem Morris is not thought of particularly well in Denver for that play. But Deardorff acted, it almost seemed like at that point, like there were no Ravens on the field trying to, you know, make things happen.
So you had already mentioned earlier, but 31 seconds on the clock and Denver decides to do nothing with it. They take a knee. They have timeouts. Mm-hmm. I think they had two.
I think that's right.
Which is, that is pretty crazy thinking about it now. If that's Mahomes, there's no way Andy Reid and Mahomes aren't trying to at least get a field goal out of 31 seconds. That's wild, but
you're in Denver, you know, longer field goals are very reasonable. You can kick the field goal as time runs out, so you don't have a huge risk there. You know, it'd been 10 years ago, the Ravens did return a missed field goal for a touchdown, but I just don't think there's all that much risk in the, in trying to kick there, even from say 60 yards. So it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, completely agree. All right. So now we are into overtime, tie ball game, 35-35. You know, I am not really going to criticize Joe Flacco, because what he did in the 2012 Ravens, you know, postseason, which is the 2013 was when it happened, but 2012 season was fantastic. No interceptions, you know, touchdowns, no interceptions. He, however, had multiple turnover-worthy throws in this game in particular that were glaring watching it back. I mean, I remembered it at the time. I was like, oh, man, I'm glad that he didn't throw that one, or that the guy didn't get his feet in bounds. But
rolling left, in particular, the one play in overtime, yeah.
Right. So the first one coming up here, he throws a sideline pass. I believe it was to the offensive left, that number 20. I didn't write his name down, catches, but he doesn't get 2 feet in bounds.
Ball should never have been thrown other than to throw it away, because Flacco is rolling left. He's Frankenstein, like a lot of pocket quarterbacks are doing that. And Flacco, as much as any quarterback I've ever seen, embodies the notion that any time you get a right-handed quarterback rolling left, you got him exactly where you want him. And right. he pitched one up that was right on the sideline, and he's just incredibly lucky that Denver didn't come down with that football.
Yeah, I mean, that changes the game. They probably win it right there. But thankfully, that wasn't the case. He throws another one before anything else important happens. Chris Harris, you know, he's had some good games against the Ravens in the past. He almost has an interception. It would be a really tough ball. It's not as close as the other one, but he has one in tight coverage against Bolden, you know, in the middle of the field shortly thereafter. And then the play that we mentioned earlier, Jimmy Smith, not a defensive player in this game, but what he did in punt coverage in this game in overtime was phenomenal. Holiday, I'm sure, was the punt returner as well as the kick returner, was doing fantastic things. Two touchdowns in this game. The punt was great, and the coverage was fantastic. Jimmy Smith was out there and caused the returner to backtrack and completely lose yardage on the return. That's with 3 minutes and 47 seconds left in the first overtime.
Tackled him at the 5 yard line. So he caught the ball right around the 9 or 10 yard line, retreated, right, trying to make a great circle route or a circular move around Smith, but Smith was having none of it and made a great tackle. He played two defensive snaps against Indianapolis, zero against Denver. And, you know, they're playing forever there. You could have seen a rotational series or something being used there, but they, and by the way, Corey Graham, in the Mile High Miracle game, we talk about he played 109 snaps, including between special teams, right, and defense.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, I have the snap counts for all four of these games, and it is crazy. He played 100% of the defensive snaps in all games except for New England. I think he missed it by one snap, and then anywhere between 20 something and 35. Let's see. No, 39 is 29% to 39% of the special team snaps in all four of the playoff games as well. So, fantastic amount of effort on defense and special teams. Like the ability to use them in both places is just wild to me.
Yeah.
Next play. That has a big impact in the game. It's second and six. There's a minute and 1 second left in overtime. Manning rolls out to the offensive right and throws off his back foot across his body, which
pressured by Paul Kruger, right?
Yes, sir. Those two things usually indicate something bad's going to happen for the quarterback, unless you're a really special player nowadays that gets lucky. Corey Graham jumps in front of the pass, sliding on his knees for an interception in front of Brandon Stokely on Denver's 45-yard line. So this is the play on defense that, in my opinion, seals it for Corey Graham to be the defensive player of the game, period. Stopping Denver right there, putting Baltimore already in the field position to kick a field goal and end this thing. They do end up moving the ball forward a little bit, but that is it right there with a minute and 1 second left in the first overtime.
Yeah, they did need a first down at that point, and they got it on a fantastic run left, draw left with Rice. And that 11-yard play or so, and I'm trying to think, but I'm thinking Marshall Yanda might have pushed him ahead for some additional yardage.
He did have Yanda or one of the offensive linemen push him at the end of it. Yep. He was about 9 yards. And then I think the offensive, it might have been Yanda, like you said.
And it was a second and 10 play. So they really had to get it on that down. It was a good one to do. And then they ran it three times, got about five total yards, and then kicked the field goal.
Yeah. Correct. Absolutely correct. But Yep, get it right into a 47-yard field goal attempt, and Tucker nails it. It's a little bit close, but he nails it nonetheless, and Ravens win. It's the second overtime with 13 minutes and 24 seconds left for the win, and that game doesn't happen without, you know, two spectacular plays by Corey Graham, a pick six and another interception to seal it.
It would be if they had a hall of great moments. You got a ring of honor for your players. You got a hall of fame to do. But if they had a hall of great moments for the Ravens, and they do have something like that at the castle, they have a hall you can walk down that I believe has a picture from each of their wins over the years. Mm-hmm. That, you know, he should be included in something like that. But the Mile High Miracle has, it has a lot of heroes.
Yeah, yeah. So many heroes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Always a pleasure to talk football with you. I did want to mention one other game from 2013. He had a two interception game of Geno Smith. Now, is it that incredible that he intercepted Geno Smith twice in a 19-3 win over the Jets? No, not really. I mean, it was a good game, and he mm-hmm. was a central figure in winning that game. What's incredible to me is Geno Smith is still playing in the National Football League 11 years right. later, yeah. and is a much better quarterback than he was then, when he was already considered to be pretty well a bust as a
right.
All right. Wait. Always a pleasure, of course, talking football with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter or X, at Real Jake Vogel, V-O-G-E-L. And I talk Ravens, I talk Georgia football, NFL, college. And, you know, I'm enjoying the Orioles as well. So definitely love to chat. And hope to see you guys interacting on there and listening to what you guys have coming out on podcasts as well.
Duke, do you care at all about the Orioles kind of getting hosed in the All-Star selections? They got Corbin Burns made it, just so we know today. And then also Gunnar and Adley had already made it as starters. They were voted in, but Corbin Burns was the only one added. So no Kimbrel, no Grayson Rodriguez.
Right.
And if you look at the team, it is pretty good, but no Jordan Westberg, no Anthony Santander would have been a possibility, I suppose. You know, Ryan Mountcastle, you know, a lot of players got left out.
Yeah, I know. It gets pretty frustrating anytime that you come to the All-Star games, because your team is never going to have as many people, you know, on that All-Star team as it should, really, because, you know, they're going from so many teams across the division and across the conference. And, you know, I think sometimes when a team is super strong, it actually like encourages them to not include so many players from the team. I don't know why it works that way, but yeah, it is frustrating, but you know, it's just an All-Star game. So you kind of get over it.
Yeah, I'm already over it, but the Grayson Rodriguez thing, I hope it really just pisses him off in the second half and he continues to pitch some great ball. He pitched a really good game today. The Orioles only ended up winning 6-3, but he left and it was 5-3 after his runs were given up for him. But still, another really well pitched game for the bulk of that, and I think they really tried to ride him a little longer than they needed to. But I'm very excited about what this Oriole team is capable of, and I do hope they acquire a couple of relievers cheaply, I think, rather than getting a starter. I think I'd rather go that route, and I think they've got enough in terms of good starting pitching to take them through the playoffs, primarily with Burns and Rodriguez.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I want to hear from you. And I'm doing a concern series. If you haven't heard about it yet, we started airing the first ones, or will very shortly. And it's going into camp. What are your biggest concerns about the 2024 Baltimore Ravens? We've got five of those shows ready to go for you so far. And I want to do more. Hit me up if you want to do that, and I'll set that aside for you, get back to you immediately. Jake, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Ken.
I'll talk to you next time on Film Study. Yeah.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.